نتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the easiest path that we can take to Allah is by realizing our utter need and dependence upon Allah. And by realizing the fact that we rely on Allah for absolutely everything. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Allah addresses mankind that, O mankind, every one of you is a faqir before Allah. Every one of you is a beggar before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regardless of the wealth you have and irrespective of the level of affluence you may enjoy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every one of you is in need of Allah, you are a beggar before Allah. Brothers, whenever we have a need, it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who we turn to. And Allah then answers our du'as through that one attribute of His for which Allah is always known. The most salient of all His attributes, the attribute that we and the entire creation of Allah continuously enjoys, and that is the mercy of Allah. So this is one way we can journey to Allah. And that is what this life is all about. Journeying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Throughout our lives, our journey to Allah is not confined to the month of Ramadan. Our journey to Allah is not restricted or confined to any certain location that we may find ourselves in. But every moment of our lives is an opportunity which Allah has given us to journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes Allah brings conditions upon the ummah to make us realize our journey and to remind us of our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah said, لَوْلَا الْمَصَائِبِ لَوَرَدْنَا الْقِيَامَةَ مَفَالِيسِ. Had it not been for difficulties and calamities that we experience in our life, we would have stood before Allah in a state of bankruptcy, with nothing to present before Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is one way we can journey to Allah, by realizing our utter need of Allah, by calling on Allah more and more, and then by tasting of Allah's mercy as Allah answers our du'as. Ponder over how many ways Allah has had mercy on you. Allah created you. Allah brought you into existence. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ. Allah says, we created you. We brought you into existence. We fashioned you. We formed you. We gave you shape. You would not have even knew of life were it not for Allah Azza wa Jal. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Allah says, there came upon man a time when there was no mention of his name anywhere. Every pleasure that you have ever experienced in life is because Allah brought you into existence. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah says, whatever ni'mah you enjoy, whatever bounty you enjoy, whatever good you enjoy, whatever moment of happiness you enjoy, it is from Allah, so attribute it to Allah. And this is what we need to learn. Whenever we enjoy any good in our life, and when Allah ever bestows us with a bounty and a moment of happiness, number one, let us not use that moment of happiness to incur the wrath of Allah. And secondly, let us attribute that achievement to Allah. Musa alayhi salam, he once asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that Adam alayhi salam enjoyed such privileges that no other human had ever enjoyed. خَلَقْتَهُ بِيَدَيْكَ وَنَفَخْتَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِكَ وَأَمَرْتَ الْمَلَائِكَ فَسَجَدُوا لَهُ وَدَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَهُ. Such great privileges. Oh Allah, Musa alayhi salam asks, Adam alayhi salam, you fashioned him, you created him, and you molded him with your very hands. You blew the ruh into him. You instructed the malaika to prostrate before him. And you admitted Adam alayhi salam into Jannah. How did he ever give thanks and fulfill the right of appreciation and gratitude which you had over him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عَرَفَ أَنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنِّي. Adam alayhi salam acknowledged that every privilege he enjoyed came to him from me. وَحَمِدَنِي, and he thanked me. He said, Alhamdulillah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْضَى عَنِ الْعَبْدِ أَيَأْكُلَ الْأَكْلَةَ فَيَحْمَدَهُ عَلَيْهَا أَوْ يَشْرَبَ الشَّرْبَ فَيَحْمَدَهُ عَلَيْهَا. Allah becomes extremely happy when a servant of his has something to eat and he says, Alhamdulillah. And he has a sip of water to drink and he says, Alhamdulillah. This is the best way to preserve every ni'mah, every bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you, by thanking Allah for it and by attributing the bounty to Allah. Do not ever attribute your achievements to yourself. Yes, your weakness, you attribute it to yourself. But the good that you enjoy, attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma sha Allah la quwwata illa billah. This is what Allah had decided for me. This is what Allah had wanted for me. I had no strength to achieve this except with the help and the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had inspired within me. Every breath that you take, every beat of your heart, every blink of your eye, every new day that you experience, every sleep that you enjoy, every sajda that you make, every child that you have is a manifestation of Allah's mercy upon you. So if you want to remember Allah, remember this great mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you. Can you even begin to understand and imagine how vast and how great is the mercy of Allah? Allah Himself has declared in the Quran, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. My mercy, my rahmah encompasses everything. Elsewhere Allah says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. How can you ever deny the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon you? Now if we want to enjoy this mercy, this special mercy of Allah, and we are living in a time when we are so in need of this mercy. As a ummah, we all have witnessed what is taking place in the different parts of the world, specifically at Masjid al-Aqsa. If we want to enjoy the special mercy of Allah, if we want to drown in that mercy, then we have to become the complete slaves of Allah. This is the condition, ubudiyya, to enter into a complete state of servitude before Allah Azza wa Jal. Every one of us wants to enjoy that mercy, but we have to become eligible to enjoy the mercy of Allah, victory from Allah, the help and assistance of Allah. Inna kunna adhalla qawmin a'azzana Allahu bil Islam. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he addresses the Muslims, he says, we were the lowest and we were the most despised community. Allah gave us honor, Allah gave us victory, Allah gave us dignity through Islam. فَمَهْمَا نَطْلُبُ الْعِزَّ بِغَيْرِ مَا أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. He then advises the Muslims, he says, if you will look for honor, dignity, prosperity and happiness in any other lifestyle than Islam, Allah will disgrace you. The Muslims are suffering, our holy shrines are being desecrated because we wish to find honor in the lifestyle of those who have inflicted these sufferings upon us. So if we want to enjoy the special mercy of Allah, if we want to drown in that mercy, then we have to become the complete slaves of Allah. Ya Musa kunni kama urid akun laka kama turid. Allah addresses Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, you become for me what I want you to be, and I shall become for you what you want me to be. And brothers, the starting point of the mercy of Allah is dua. Dua is the starting point of the mercy of Allah, because Allah is the one who puts within you the desire to turn to Allah. Allah is the one who creates within your heart a yearning to turn to Him and to call unto Him. These are moments of dua when we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dua and istighfar, to highlight the significance of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the most significant moment in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah used the journey of Mi'raj and Al-Isra, which undoubtedly was the greatest event experienced not only by the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but by any human. Allah used that event, the event of Al-Mi'raj and Al-Isra, to highlight the significance of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. That alone gives us an understanding of what a great and significant site Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa is in Islam. Allah could have taken the Nabi of Allah from Al-Masjid Al-Haram, from Makkah Al-Mukarramah. Allah could have elevated him and raised him up to the heavens, but Allah deliberately took the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Al-Masjid Al-Haram to Baytul Maqdis in Palestine in order to highlight to the Muslim Ummah the significance of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. So this is a moment for dua. You might feel that what difference is your dua going to make? But through dua, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a Muslim makes dua for his Muslim brother in his absence, that dua is readily answered by Allah. The dua is readily answered by Allah. عند رأسه ملك موكل يقول آمين ولك مثله. When he makes dua for a person in his absence, for the people in that part of the world, then Allah appoints an angel to stand at his side, and the angel says, Ameen, and may you enjoy the same. If you want to see happiness in your home, make dua, the next person enjoys happiness in his home. If you want to see prosperity in your life, in your marriage, in your business, in your investment, make dua, your competitor enjoys the same, you'll see it in your life. Some of our pious predecessors, they said, whenever I wanted something, I would make dua that Allah grants it to someone else. There was a better chance of me getting it by asking it for someone else than asking it for myself. So Allah is the one who creates a desire within your heart to call out to Him and make dua. And when you experience that moment, wherever you may be, whatever time it may be, there's a desire that comes in your heart to turn to Allah, capitalize on that opportunity and turn to Allah, because Allah wants you to turn to Him at that moment. Yeah. Abu Abdullah rahimahullah, he says that once I awoke from my sleep in search of my slave girl who was an extremely pious lady. فَقُمْتُ مِنْ نَوْمِ أَبْحَثُ عَنْهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ تُنَاجِي رَبَّهَا سَاجِدًا. He says, I went out in search for her. I found her communicating with Allah while in sajda. She was in sajda, she was communicating with Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, لَنْ تَجِدَ أَحَنَّ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ. Understand one thing, you will not find anyone who loves you more than Allah. فَوَاللَّهِ لَوْ يَعْلَمُ السَّاجِدْ مَا يَخْشَاهُ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ بِسُجُودِهِ لَمَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهِ. He says, when you are in sajda, if you are in sajda, and if you only understand the level and the extent of Allah's mercy that descends upon you while you're in sajda, you would never want to lift your head up from sajda. أَقْرَبْ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the closest you can ever come to Allah in this world is when you are in sajda. فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الدُّعَىٰ. Therefore, open your heart to Allah. Pour your heart out to Allah while you are in sujood before Allah. So I found her in sajda. I overheard her saying, بِحُبِّكَ إِيَّا يَلَا تُعَذِّبْنِي. Oh Allah, because you love me and because of the love that you have for me, do not subject me to any form of punishment. He was surprised at the bold statement that she made. However, he allowed her to complete her dua and to finish the dua. When she finished, he came up to her and said, كيف عرفت أنه يحبك? You have asked Allah through the love that Allah has for you. How certain are you that Allah really loves you? She said, أَمَا أَقَامَنِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. Did Allah not give me the ability to stand in salah before him? The fact that Allah has allowed me to communicate with him at this hour of the night is a clear enough sign of Allah's love for me and his mercy upon me. So Allah is the one who creates a desire within your heart to call out to him. And that desire is one of the most special mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will ever experience in life. Brothers, through dua, we find hope at times of desperation. Wallahi, these moments, the ummah that we are experiencing right now, these are moments of desperation. Through dua, we find that hope in these moments of desperation. Through dua, we find sustenance at times of need. We find security at times of fear. Through dua, we find comfort at times of distress. Through dua, you find consolation at times of sorrow. How many are the moments of difficulty that you have been able to get through because of dua? So what a great mercy it is from Allah that Allah has given us the ability to make dua. الدُّعَاء مُخُّ الْعِبَادَةِ. The famous hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, dua is the mukh of your ibadah. The literal translation of mukh is the brain. We refer to the brain in the body as the mukh. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, dua is the mukh of your ibadah. Your ibadah is lifeless without dua. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا. I would like to share one dua with you and perhaps conclude on this. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ. Sometimes the situation and the conditions seem so overwhelming that we do not even have the courage to lift our hands and make dua, but that is doubting the power and the ability of Allah. A very beautiful dua, and we should make this dua throughout our lives, especially after the month of Ramadan, if we wish to remain consistent and we want to adopt steadfastness and maintain that same level of spirituality that we had during the month of Ramadan. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. Oh Allah, do not allow our hearts to swerve away from the hidayah that you have allowed us to enjoy. Ba'da idh hadaytana. وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابُ. I want to spend some time on this attribute of Allah, Al-Wahhab. Al-Wahhab is an exaggerated version of Wahib. Wahib refers to one who gives a gift. If somebody has given you a gift, you refer to that person as a Wahib. Allah did not say he is Wahib. Allah said he is Al-Wahhab. The exaggerated version means the one who keeps on giving you gifts. In your obedience and even in your disobedience, Allah keeps on giving you gifts. He is Al-Wahhab. Another meaning of Al-Wahhab is the one whose generosity knows no bounds. One whose generosity is not capped. Allah's generosity is uncapped. As a person, perhaps this does not even make sense to us, or it's something we cannot even really fathom. Because as generous as a person may be, that generosity is capped. There's a limit to that generosity. No matter how generous a person may be, there is a limit to that generosity. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's generosity is uncapped, and there's no ceiling or roof to the generosity of Allah. That is why nothing is impossible for Allah. And that is why the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, they understood the attribute of Allah al-Wahhab. That is why they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the impossible, and Allah gave it to them. For the impossible. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Rabbi habli mulkan la yambaghi li ahadim min ba'di innaka antal wahhab. Oh Allah, I understand you al-Wahhab, that nothing is impossible for you. That is why I'm asking you to give me such a kingdom whereby I may control the wind. Will you and I ever make such a dua? To you and I, that's impossible. Why should I make such a dua? Give me control over the jinn of Allah. Give me control over the creatures that you have brought, the animal kingdom. Allah, give me control over all of this. You are Wahhab. I understand you are Wahhab. Zakariya alayhi salam. His wife was barren. Medically, scientifically, she could not give birth. It was impossible. But he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he made dua also to Allah, what did he say? Innaka antal wahhab. You are wahhab. So they understood the meaning of al-wahhab. That nothing is impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why they made dua to Allah for the impossible and Allah gave it to them. So these are moments, brothers, when we should spend much time in dua. Wallahi, many a times you hear a person say, I read the Quran, but there's no feeling. I stand before Allah in salah, I'm in sajda, there's no position where I'm closer to Allah, but there is no feeling in my sujood. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, spend some time, preferably in the morning, in the beginning of your day, in dua. That is what injects life in your ibadah. Ad-du'a mukhul ibadah. That's the mukh of your ibadah. Your salah will be lifeless if you are not dedicating a portion of your day in du'a, supplicating and turning to Allah and communicating with Allah Azza wa Jal. That du'a is what enlivens your salah. That du'a is what will enliven the spiritual level of the Muslim ummah, which is desperately required in these times, for that is the only thing. As far as material aspects are concerned, alhamdulillah, we have advanced. Technology is concerned and military power and all that is concerned. But in terms of spirituality, we are at a low. Through dua, we need to elevate our spiritual level and thereby earn the assistance and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us the understanding.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فيا معشر المسلمين أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وأذكركم بأن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الناس إذا سألتم الله فاسألوه وأنتم موقنون بالإجابة وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يستجاب لأحدكم ما لم يعجل يقول قد دعوت ربي فلم يستجب لي وقال أبو الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه ليأتين على الناس زمان لا ينجو فيه إلا من دعا بدعاء كدعاء الغريق أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربكم ادعوني استجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن والسنة ونفعني وإياكم بما فيهما من الآيات والحكمة أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير الناس قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا منهم اللهم ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون
لا إله إلا
Allahu Akbar.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها وأخرجت الأرض أثقالها وقال الإنسان ما لها يومئذ تحدث أخبارها بأن ربك أوحى لها يومئذ يصدر الناس أشتاتا ليروا أعمالهم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. الله أكبر. سميع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم أنت السلام منك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم لا مانع لما أعطيت ولا معطي لما منعت ولا ينفع ذا الجن منك الجن إنك على كل شيء قدير. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم والحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة لك فيها رضا إلا قضيتها ويسرتها وباركت لنا فيها. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحابه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.